Well, today's gospel passage is a little awkward to preach on. Standing up in front of a church and preaching about Jesus as the Good Shepherd is a little like how I imagine it would be to teach fish about water. For the fish, the water is always there. They never go without water. But at the same time, precisely because it's so prevalent, it's not something they think about very often. And for us, it's often the same way with our Good Shepherd and shepherd imagery and references. We'll talk about pastors of a church. And for many people, that's just the title you use. It doesn't even remind them of a pastor who keeps watch over sheep. I've heard pastors talk about their congregations as their flocks. The bishop we have here is the chief shepherd of the diocese. And we see that every time he comes to St. Columba. When he comes in, he's not bringing that large staff because he needs help getting down the aisles. He's carrying it because it's his crozier or pastoral staff. It's just like the staffs shepherds would have with them when they would go out with their flocks. And even the role of clergy in the church is pastoral. This shapes the function of Christian clergy. Pastors aren't like, say, the Pharisees of Jesus' time, where we just provide people with legalistic interpretations. And we're not like some other faiths where the clergy are far and distant from the people. Pastors are supposed to work closely with their flock, caring for them. And all of these words and symbols here are there because they emphasize that pastors and bishops are supposed to shepherd the faithful like Christ. For clergy, we need to pattern ourselves after Christ in what we do. And we see this imagery very strongly with Jesus, our Good Shepherd. The earliest depictions we know of Jesus from the catacombs of Rome are of Jesus as a shepherd, carrying a sheep over his shoulders. They're trying to convey the love Jesus has for his sheep. And when we think about Jesus, he is, this depiction probably impacts us more than most others out there. We always think of Jesus as loving, of caring for us, of having a genuine concern for each of us, his sheep. And if a Christian would try to argue otherwise, that love wasn't there, it would just sound really odd. It would be the kind of thing that would make you ask them to repeat what they just said. There are a lot of beliefs in Christianity that good Christians will debate, like how many sacraments there are, or what kind of bread to use for communion. But the love of Christ, the love he has for us, is never up for debate or discussion. It's a given. And we know this because of the first verse of our reading. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It may seem far from it for most people, even many Christians today. But what Jesus is saying here is that his death on the cross is the prime example of his role as the Good Shepherd. And it truly exemplifies the love that he has for us, his sheep. But this being Christ, that isn't just a one and done event. As we pray a little bit in the Psalms, in Psalm 23, you spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. When we come up here shortly for the Eucharist, it's not merely a ritual or something that we do just to remember Jesus. That's the table our Good Shepherd spreads before us. It's from his sacrifice, out of his love, that he feeds us with himself, his body and blood. And the way we have everything set up here at St. Columba perfectly illustrates this, with our altar, our table, right at the foot of the cross, of the sacrifice of Christ, where he laid down his life for us, because these things are directly tied to each other. And this parable doesn't end there. Sheep aren't just these lazy creatures that sit there only wanting food and nothing else. Sheep provide for the shepherd with what they do have, often products like wool or sheep's milk. We can't expect to repay our shepherd for all the good that he's given us, but we can give him back what we do have. We can love God. We can turn to him in prayer and worship, and we can thank him for the ways that he feeds us. And sheep are also expected to follow the shepherd. That's partly what the shepherd wants and partly what's best for the sheep. It's the same with us and Christ. Christ loves us and wants the best for us. And that's why he's given us his teachings. That's why we have God's commandments. They're not merely guidelines or suggestions. They're given to us so that we keep following him, so that we don't stray away to be picked off by wolves. Now, parables like the Good Shepherd are meant to convey a point. And in this case, the love God has for all of us. And it does this perfectly. But they can't be used in every single way. The one difference I want to point out from this parable is the distinction between the Good Shepherd and the sheep. We know when it comes to shepherds and sheep, they're different. Shepherds are people and sheep are animals. When it comes to our Good Shepherd and us, Christ is fully God and we're fully man. But Christ is fully man as well. There isn't a permanent distinction between our shepherd and us. Quite the opposite. We'll never be God. But as a pastor of the early church once said it, God became man so that man might become like God. Our following Christ isn't only about keeping us safe. It's so that gradually we can become more and more like him. That's not something we can do on our own. Like, we just need to do a better job of following him. It's something that God works about in us. Now, as I said, God is perfect, and we can never be truly perfect like him. We can never become God. But too often, that fact can be used to make us doubt what we're capable of when we try to follow Christ, and what the Holy Spirit can work about in the life of a Christian. And there was a perfect example of this past March in France. In the town of Trèbes, in the south of the country, they had a terrorist attack where a group took over a supermarket. And in the process of this, they took people hostage. The police negotiated for the hostages to be released, and when they only were down to one left, and knowing the terrorists wouldn't be willing to give up all the hostages, the police colonel in charge offered to switch places with that last hostage. And unfortunately, this man, Lieutenant Colonel Arnaud Beltrame, was killed shortly thereafter. And most of the newspapers reported this. They reported what a hero he was and how much of a tragedy this was. But what they didn't report was the fact that he had grown up in a non-religious family, but had become a Christian a few years earlier. He had gone to church. He had become a regular member. He had even gone on pilgrimages throughout Europe. And he had retained the teachings of Jesus Christ. He had been regularly strengthened through the same Eucharist that we'll be receiving shortly. And he had the same shepherd as us. And even though he was so far away from here, he was part of our flock. And I'm almost certain that the first thing that went through his mind when this event was going down was that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he decided to follow his shepherd. His death was sad, but in the light of Christ, we can see beauty in it. that this man was able to show such love for God, such love for a stranger, that he was willing to give his life for theirs. And we can see in this that the example of Christ on the cross is still being followed by people today. And we may not find ourselves in the same situation as Lieutenant Colonel Beltram, and this isn't something we have to duplicate, but it shows us the love that we, the sheep, are capable of because of our Good Shepherd. And not only the love we're capable of, this is the kind of love that we're called to, and the kind of love our shepherd wants to see in us. For us, it's not a question of whether or not God wants us to imitate this love in our lives. It's a question of where and how he wants us to imitate this love. So, yes, the Good Shepherd and pastoral imagery is common to us as Christians. We're surrounded by it. It's everywhere, but we can't just take this for granted. We need to see all of this for what it is, that Christ has a deep, deep love for us, a love that he shows in his crucifixion. There is no better example of not only his love, but love in general, than that singular event. And this love continues to be seen in how our shepherd feeds us and as he spreads his table before us. We need to join him at this table. We need to accept his love and reciprocate that love with our own, as weak and small in comparison as that love may be. But the great thing about this is that with our consent, with our turning to him in faith, he will increase that love, and he will work in us things that we couldn't dream of on our own. Amen.